Up that, and I'm going to introduce our speaker for today. Our topic leader is Sivia. And Sivia, you have the floor. You just have to unmute here.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me here today. I really appreciate it. I needed a meeting when I was asked. I was asked a couple days ago, and I was a little resistant because I have a lot going on in my life. But one thing that helps me with my emotional sobriety is doing service. So anyway, I am Sivia. I live in Northern California. I have been in the program for roughly 15 and a half years. And in April, I came to April of 2020, I had gotten to my goal weight. And then I thought, now what? So didn't really thoroughly, completely, wholeheartedly work the steps until probably a couple years later. I was in a special interest group of OA that felt like the best way to work the steps was through an AWOL, which is a way of life. For those of you who may not know, it's a group think, and it takes usually about 18 months to do it. And I have come to believe my own, this is my personal opinion.
I'm staying over. I think, I know I'm staying over.
Okay, sorry. My personal opinion is that you need to work the steps as quickly as possible. And for me, when I work my sponsees through the steps, it's usually 2 months max, because you will not get, you know, you won't get recovered until you've done that ninth step. And people stall out at step 8 and 9, and then they lose their abstinence. So for me, I want to talk a little bit about what emotional sobriety means to me. I am not always emotionally sober. I am imperfect. I screw up a lot. And emotional sobriety to me is an ongoing growth. It's an ongoing tug of war between me and my higher power. When do I lose emotional sobriety? So when I, as Bill W. says in the big book, first we have to quit playing God. And once in a while, I pick up that God thing and I want to be God. And I want to control everything and everybody. After all, I am an addict. So that being said, and even, you know, in Bill W.'s book, Emotional Sobriety, he talks about how he was realizing he was having an issue, because what people thought of him and the good feelings that he thought he got was from other people praising him, loving him, telling him how wonderful he was, or, you know, he, et cetera. And, ooh, I see some people here that I'm really close to. Thank you for coming. So what happens to me? Well, I start feeling resentments, because when I start playing God, people aren't doing my thing. They're not doing the things that I want them to do, unfortunately. Quick example of that, we just bought a house. We're moving out of the country because my husband has very specific medical needs. We need to get closer to the big city of Sacramento, California, where there is good medical care. So we bought a house, closed on the house. And when we went through the walkthrough, the guy had left all his possessions, and I was just like, "Argh." But my wonderful, because I tend to when I lose my emotional sobriety, when my wonderful realtor started, and she's this very cute, slender, beautifully dressed, she started getting down and pulling things off and putting them in piles. She says, "Don't worry, We will call the seller's agent and it will get taken away. And I'm like, oh, I was reacting a little weird. I was making assumptions. Okay. And then yesterday, I'm selling my house up here and we're having a stager come in and she wanted to move a cabinet 4 feet over to the right. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, it's a heavy cabinet. Is it really going to, somebody's not going to buy the house because the cabinet is 4 feet to the left? But then I realize she's the stager, she's the professional, my realtor is paying her big bucks to do the work. Why am I being so resistant? So that's one aspect of my emotional sobriety, is I want to play God, I want things to go my way. The other aspect of is that I want everybody to love me. I may do things at times to my detriment, because I am afraid to express in a kind way, in a loving way, what's happening. So if I have a sponsee, for instance, that wants to talk to me for an hour, and I only have a half hour, I need to say, hey, hun, I really want to hear what's going on in your life, but maybe we can split this up between me, your sponsor, and then make a couple other phone calls. I need to express that, to let them know that me personally, on this particular day, I can't do this. Is somebody going to tell me when I've got about 2 minutes, by the way? Thank you. So, so every night as part of my 11th step, I have a phrase that I say that helps me a lot is, God, please help me to remember that I need to love others more than I love myself. Because when I'm not emotionally sober, it's all about me and what I want. If I could be of service, and if I could set my mind quiet and pause, pray, and then proceed, then even if I'm not emotionally sober 5 minutes before, I can get there. It's when I go charging, you know, I used to be a type A personality and I got a lot of shit done. And I did a lot of stuff for, you know, what I thought was a lot of people, but I was bulldozing. Nobody likes to be bulldozed. I don't know about you guys, but when my mother would try to bulldoze me when I was a young woman, I didn't like it. So why on earth would I think that that's okay for me to do to other people? So if you can maintain, or if I can maintain a way of living where I listen to people, where I speak my truth when my truth needs to be spoken, I can be emotionally sober. But as a gentle reminder, I don't know about you guys, I am not 100% perfectly emotionally sober. Hey, if one of the guys who started the 12-step program can admit that things were starting to fall apart because he was appreciating more what other people said about him than what he was hearing his higher power say, that's when you lose your emotional sobriety. So that's what I try to do. My program is imperfect, very imperfect. It's no longer about the food anymore. The food comes with the emotional sobriety. The food comes along with being of service. The food comes along with not constantly whining. I tend to be a whiner. I can't help it. I try now to stop myself that this happened and this happened with the house and that happened. And I want to broadcast it to all my friends. But that embeds in my brain emotional drunkenness, I suppose, because I am getting good feelings from that negative self-talk, the negative shit that's going on. that embeds in my brain and that affects my program. So, you know, when I hear people share, tell me how, oh, they on the way to the OA meeting, they stopped for a donut, or on the way back from the OA meeting, they had, you know, McDonald's.
You have 1 minute left, so
thank you, or whatever it is. That's something to share with your sponsor, maybe. When we're in meetings, we should share experience, strength, and hope. That's what makes us, helps to make us emotionally sober. That's what I think helps to make everybody else, if we're working towards, you know, helping each other as well as ourselves, learning to say no when you really mean I can't do this right now, but also saying yes when you're able to do it. That's where, you know, that's my, what I've learned for me in my program. And none of this may apply to you guys at all. So take what you want. As they say, leave the rest. And God bless you all for being here. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Sivia. Now, you have some questions that you were going to write on. Would you like to please read them now so we know, and they will be put up into the chat as well?
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to come up in the chat because I couldn't find them in my email. So if that could be put up there by Alex, that would be great.
Is this possibly it? Where do I, what do I do on a daily basis when I find myself not
yes.
being
completely sober? Yeah, so that's it. What do I do to help me? And what do you guys do when you find yourself not being emotionally sober? How do I quit playing God? And how do I come to acceptance on a daily basis? Because nobody sprinkles fairy dust on you and makes you come to acceptance or make you quit playing God. It would be nice, but I haven't found that product yet. So these are the things that I think are really important to think about.
Okay, so now we will have 10 minutes. I will time us to write on these questions, and then we'll do our sharing after. And thank you very much, Sivia, for your help, for being here today. And I know you may have to leave us, but maybe we'll have a chance before you leave if anybody has a question for you. But right now I'm going to pause the recording so we can write. Go ahead. And the question is in the chat room recording. All right. So guidelines for sharing. Sharing will last until the end of the meeting as you share your experience and strength of OA. Please also share your hope. Feedback, crosstalk, and advice giving are discouraged here. We ask everyone to respect our group conscience. We'll now open the meeting for sharing. And if you want to share, just please write your prompt, lift your hand with the app, the reactions below to raise your hand. And at the moment, we will go for 3 minute shares. And would you please keep an eye? And I don't know how, I want to try to stop this clock up here so that it doesn't say 1 minute, but we will give that a shot. And let's go to Tony B. Go ahead, Tony.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. And thank you very much, Sivia. It was great to hear your share. I really needed that today. the question was interesting to write on. I continue. You know, I've had this today. I had a couple of things happen that I didn't expect. And, you know, self-pity did come in. And what did I do? I continued on. You know, I made dinner. I took my dog out for a walk. I got onto this meeting and things have shifted. Amazing. It works. Good orderly direction. So, you know, I might have a cry. I might have a sit down for a few minutes and then I move on. Have to be in action. Well, it can be rest as well. That can be a positive thing, but I can't wallow. The feelings today where I don't feel good, there's something just a bit wrong, I'm lacking X, Y, or Z, this could be better if only. And the only escape I find is getting on with things and getting the next meeting, getting the next, the next bit of connection, which is what I feel I get on this meeting. And I'll hear something like today's message was really good and something will shift, you know, it does shift. And I don't always come to acceptance right away, but I know that the sun will come out again and I'll live in the sunlight of the spirit again, so long as I don't pick up and I try not to act out. And quit playing God by remembering, I think, that nothing happens in God's world by mistake, and I can trust him. He has a plan for me, and I can trust him. So with that, I will pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And listen, don't look at the timer, because for some reason I cannot change that right now, but I'm keeping time on the clock. So go right ahead, Veronica.
Hi. Thank you, Anne Marie, for taking the meeting. And also, Sivia, it's really lovely to hear you. Veronica C. from New York. The questions are very thought-provoking. And so what do I do when I find I am not emotionally sober? Well, first of all, I have a lot of red flags because of working the steps, working the program. So I know that when I'm feeling disgruntled or I'm feeling, I have a lot of different triggers I could point to, you know, like feeling a sense of unease or a sense of discomfort about something or just feeling anxious. And so that helps me to identify it. And what I do is just change the scenario, change the scene where I am. It might be, since I work from home and I work on the computer all the time, it just could be a matter of me taking a break, going outside, sitting on the deck, reading something from one of my today booklets that I have, and that'll put me right back into the spirit of things. How do I quit playing God? Well, first of all, that's another way of, you know, understanding and recognizing my feeling state, because the moment that I know that I want to, that I'm feeling that I want to change, that I want to rescue, or that I want to control, I know that I'm in myself. And I pretty much really try to recognize that as often as I can. I'm not perfect, but I do recognize that. And I feel that, again, that is the beauty of this program. And then how do I come to acceptance? Well, the awareness and the enlightenment comes to me through doing the 10 steps, because I find that the 10 steps are continually showing me the layers that I'm peeling off and what is underneath something. And I can't say enough good things about that. You know, I used to think 10 steps were just for, like, you know, things I didn't really recognize very much. It's like not a big deal. But then as I continued to do 10 steps, I recognized that there was always a bigger picture there. And that bigger picture generally took me back to things that I had been doing for years and years and years that had been covered up with years and years of compulsive issues. So very grateful for this program today. So thank you for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much. And now I'm going to be able to put that 3-minute timer on as we go to Judith. Go ahead, Judith. It's asking you to unmute, dear. Okay, Mary, can you go ahead and do it a while till she gets back?
Hi, I'm Mary. I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you so much, Sivia, for your share today. I think you must have been at my house this morning, because I lost my emotional sobriety. And these questions were so exactly what I was dealing with. So the problem was is that my zipper broke on my robe. So, of course, that was a major crisis. I was really pissed that my zipper broke. Imagine that something just, you know, should happen to me like that in the morning. So what I did was I did a 10 step. And what, of course, you know, as soon as I get to my part, I realize how crazy can I be thinking that this belief that I'm never going to have anything bother me or disturb me, you know, is just, it's just crazy. And immediately, you know, just doing that, the angst or the feelings went away. The other thing was, is that because I've worked the program for quite a while, I've learned to use that invisible duct tape, and I did not have to rag on my husband or, you know, try to blame him for what was happening, which I have done in the past. How do I quit playing God? Well, I try to keep conscious contact with my higher power, Throughout the day, you know, I try to remind myself, I am not running the show. I am not, it's not my will, it's God's will. And how do I come to acceptance on a daily basis? Well, basically, I do the disciplines that, you know, it says in the big book that God's going to discipline us if we let him. And that's what I let him do by working the steps on a daily basis. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And I messed up here. So actually, Diane, you are next in line, followed by Judith. Go ahead, Diane.
Oh, hi there. I'm Diane G, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Canada. And Sylvia, thank you for opening up your heart and your beautiful share. And I just have to comment on one thing. When you said, when you sold your house and they left all the stuff in their house and how it caused you angst. Well, my husband and I are retired. And that's what we do. You would call us. We would come and get your stuff. We would put it on marketplace, sell it, and we would make a ton of money. So it's funny how it's different in Canada. So the three questions, to me, it's like a loaded question. It's kind of addressing each situation as it comes up. And I have such a good example yesterday. So I've been recovered in the program for 3 years. And my biggest resentment was towards my mom. And I worked through it. And it's good. She's 91. I go visit her in the nursing home. And it's a beautiful relationship. When I went to see her yesterday, she said something that wounded me to the soul. Not only did she attack me, but my kids and my grandkids. And I wish I could have said I went to the car and did a 10th step, but I didn't. I just drove home and I unloaded on my husband and my daughter. And the reason I felt I didn't want to do a 10th step, it was like being that little kid in the playground and you took a toy from them and your parent says, go apologize. And you say you're sorry, but you really don't mean it because I didn't want to see my part in the end. And so it took a bit, but then I called somebody on my God squad and I just said, I don't want to do it. Can you help me through it? And she did. She helped me work through it. And at the end it was, she's 91 years old. For her to make those hurtful comments, what must her childhood gone through? And I went to a meeting and then I talked to somebody after the meeting and she said, well, why don't you write a letter to God and ask him, just say you're this wounded child. Can you remove that burden? And I did. And you know what song came to my mind? A song my mom used to hold and rock me with. And I'm actually quite an amazing singer, but I won't sing it to you. But it's Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me. And I woke up this morning after singing that song and I'm refreshed. And instead of calling all of you each, I got all your numbers. I'll call you each and tell you, do you know what my mom said to me? I can now just say, God, thank you. Thank you for bringing me into the rooms of OA and transforming me. So thank you for you as my community. And on that, I'd like to pass.
Thank you. All right, Judith, go ahead.
My name is Judith, grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. And thank you, Anne Marie. And thank you, Sylvia. I appreciate it. It is nice to see you here. I'll start off with, I loved it. Thank you. I'm not the only one. I can't unmute. I need to talk. My seconds are going. Boy, does that feel great. That's what, God, thank you so much. When I'm not emotionally sober, I just realized when I wrote those letters down, ES, emotionally sober, ESH, experience, strength, and hope. Emotional comes from experience. Sober comes from strength. And H is hope, help other people every day. Get outside of myself gives and brings me even more emotional sobriety. When I sat down, when I'm told to sit, I surrender and I have intuitive trust. Total reliance upon step three. When I turn my will and my life over to God, it's done. You know, just like buying a house, once you sign the contract and put down the down payment, it's no longer yours. And I have to remember that every day. Total reliance upon step three. And lastly, how do I accept? I accept by knowing that God is everything, or my defects are everything. I accept in this moment, in this day, as I stay with God, all is well. My life is no longer mine. Isn't that a relief? Thank you for letting me share.
All right, I'm going to take a quick share. I'm Anne Marie Kay in Pennsylvania, and I'm recovered just for these 24 hours. And, you know, the first question, 10th step, absolutely the 10th step. And I had to learn to do those 10 steps immediately. I always laugh at that because, you know, the big book tells us when these things pop up, we immediately, and the more I immediately do that, the more I understand what the feeling is. And then I go, that's what it is. I don't have to act out on it. That's number one. Number two, though, is the biggie for me. How do I quit playing God? Well, one of the things that I've just recently learned and really like it was each morning I try to make a contract with him. Because, you know, I'm still learning to surrender rather than simply comply. And that's why I never understood 24 hours. That's why I have to say I'm recovered just for these 24 hours, just today. You know, that's just who I am. And, you know, I'm emotionally so, you know, if I'm emotionally cerebral, my control of others' lives isn't a problem. Because, you know, I can live life on life's terms as they are, rather than Anne Marie's terms when she's playing God. And that is recently, since Christmas, been a huge, huge, wonderful gift from my higher power. Because the biggest thing I had a hard time giving away was my son and my daughter-in-law. And I can honestly say it is wonderful not to try to control a 36-year-old man and think that he's still a child. And finally, the third one, you know, step seven in the morning when I get out, before I get out of bed, I just, when I'm making that contract with God, I try to either say the seven-step prayer, I'll say the set-aside prayer, or, you know, I on my phone, I have a whole series of little notes to myself that I can look at so that when I'm out and about, but the acceptance prayer, which I know by heart now, page 417 of the big book, you know, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And let go and let God. All those little phrases that when I was in program before, I had no idea what they meant. Keep it simple. Fake it till you make it. All those different things. Today, they're up here and they help me to remember that I'm a human and that's all I'm ever going to be. So with that, have a great day, everybody, unless you made their plans. And Sandy T, followed by Carol Ann. Go right ahead.
Oh, goody, I get to follow Anne Marie. Okay, so happy to be here today. So I didn't get in until probably the last, I don't know, I missed the first 5 minutes of the talk. But all I know is that moving was involved. And all I know is that's all that's in my head right now is that we've got to move. So that's what will come into this. All right. So what do I do when I'm not emotionally sober? Well, I'll tell you what I do when I'm emotionally nuts. And that's I rattle around in my own head trying to figure out everything right now by myself perfectly. And when I finally get to a state of reasonableness, I have to realize that what my state of mind is and simply say, it's my way of pausing. How do I quit playing God? I have to be quiet. I have to say really weird things, okay? Like, what do you think? And my favorite with my diabetic husband, so what did your blood sugar say after you ate that? And I want to be a cheerleader. I want people to tell me something and I can say, cool, that is so great that you did that. Oh my gosh, I really like the part where you did this. And wasn't that a gift from God, that saying that came into your house? I'm looking at Wendy's picture right now, and she looks like the ultimate cheerleader. Thank you, Wendy. Okay, how do I come to accept on a daily basis? I really trim back on my expectations. It started with a huge landscaping deal that did not get finished. It grew during a period of wanting certain behavior from my husband that he was not capable of doing. And now it's paring down my expectations of me and my behavior. Mistakes are okay, because now I do have that 10th step. And thank you all for bringing that up, because I need it reiterated over and over. My house was too big, so I got cleaners when I was too ill to do it all. Now I can keep them and get ready to sell our house. Your share was a blessing from our HP. Thank you so much, Sylvia. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Sandy. Go ahead, Carol, followed by Wendy.
Good morning, everyone. Afternoon. My name is Carol Ann from California. And daily basis, I have a problem. I first turn to my higher power, and this is something that I never used to do at all. And it's just automatic. What could I do? What do you want me to do? What is your will for me? And getting out of myself helps me the most, making outreach calls. And right now I have an enthusiastic sponsee who's discovering the nuances of the big book for the first time. And her enthusiasm is so contagious. I just love talking to her, and I can't wait to talk to her. And she really appreciates, points out to me the language that Bill uses and different aspects that she appreciates. And yesterday she said, "I can see how I can sponsor now." Oh, it just broke my heart. I mean, it's just opened up, and I feel so good that she was able to see how she could do this herself. And it reminded me of how my sponsor helped me and guided me. And I really look forward to working with sponsees and getting out of myself. I think that's the best thing that helps me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you. Go ahead, Wendy. Good. You have to unmute, Wendy. There you go.
Okay, so I'm new to this meeting. I'm new to Zoom. My headset isn't working. I'm kind of like struggling through this. So anyway, thank you for this meeting. I've been listening to the podcast. I think it's a wonderful meeting. And so I was relating to the question, how do I quit playing God? And I remind myself that God has the bigger picture. You know, he's running the show. You know, he has the game plan. He knows what needs to be happening, you know, for his will to be accomplished. He knows why he's allowing circumstances to happen this way. And, you know, he's giving me the opportunity to surrender my wants and my desires and to align myself with his plan. And, you know, I get to remember that, you know, life was not good when I was trying to control it, you know, and, you know, I made a huge mess of my life. And it's just such a relief to no longer try to carry that, you know, impossible responsibility. And, you know, I get to just relax and surrender, and I get to stop pushing for what I want or think I need out of situations or relationships. And, you know, I get to just seek God's guidance and his role that he wants me to play, you know, and what are the actions he wants me to take, you know, and I get to trust that he has everyone's best interest in mind, and he knows, you know, the good that he has planned, you know, to come out of every difficulty. And it is just such a relief to, you know, to let go of control and to just relax. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. And Hillary B., it's all for you, girl. And we have more time for share, so get those hands up. Go ahead, Hillary.
Hi, everybody. I'm Hillary. It's morning here, but good afternoon to most of you. Well, I really appreciated what everyone else shared, and I understand those things. And when I can do it, then my life is smooth. But for me, the truth is, every question to me was like on a daily basis. I can't go a whole day. No matter what I do in the morning to set the tone, it does help, but it doesn't usually last 20, well, I mean, mostly it doesn't last 24 hours. It doesn't last 12 hours. So for me, when I find myself not being emotionally sober, I mean, I'm lucky when I can. It's a gift when I notice myself not being emotionally sober before I react. Often I first react and then I notice. So it's always in the moment. And that's part of my step 11 work every morning, is to have God show me all throughout the day, you know, how to carry out God's will, how to turn my will and my life over in the moment. So I'm really practicing just paying attention, just practicing being aware to the best of my ability. And what, you know, what helps me most to change me at this point is when I act out and I say, and I feel terrible, which is a gift that I feel terrible when I act out, because I used to feel justified. And that helps me, that motivates me to be watching it again, to say, no, don't open your mouth. No, you know, there's a woman in here who has helped me a lot. And I do things like I can't say one thing to God with my mouth and then behave differently from that. I have to act loving and kind. And it's a daily learning experience, a minute by minute really learning experience. And what I see is, when I can catch myself playing God, or when I can catch myself not being in acceptance, and when I can catch myself not being emotionally sober, and I can give it over to God, you know, I can step out of the way. I can say, Hillary, don't go there. Or I can say, God, help me. I need really short prayers like, God, help me, or bless him, change me, bless her, change me, bless them, change me. That's a very powerful prayer for me. And when I can do that, I used to think I needed to do that to be loving to other people, so to be nice to other people. But now I see, just a second, now I see I feel better. It makes me happier. It gives me, it fills me with gratitude. So with that, I'll stop. Thanks, Anne-Marie, for keeping time. You know I need that.
Thank you, Hillary. Deb F., go ahead. And we still have time for another couple people. If you get your hands up, go ahead, Deb.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me? Okay, great. What do I do to when I find myself not being emotionally sober? Well, that's why I'm here. I just find myself just being thankful that I have this way of life, that I have sponsors who have cautioned me that when I do a 10th step or when I feel stuck, I can hear somebody tell me some things that is, it will bring me up. And short, like, look, if you're having people that are close to you retaliate to you, there's something you're doing. You need to look at that. And for me, that is hard to do. I almost have to write a letter to that person that just sends me. And, but of course, I'm not going to send it. But I'm going to write that letter so I can get out of my story, which I've been hearing from people. Oh my gosh, you've got a lot of story there. You're not getting to the what your part is. And so being emotionally sober is helping me see what, or at least that's a trip for me to go to what my part is. And so when I write the letter, I have to take a step back and go, okay, who is this woman? You know, I can't see it when I'm in the story, when I'm just telling myself stories. But I can see it if I stop, take that, get that distance from what I'm thinking and feeling, and just go, okay, what is going on here, God, holding hands with my higher power. And that helps me to see what I need to do, or what I'm doing, what I'm actually doing. The other thing is when I have pain, I'm learning to go towards it instead of running away from it, instead of trying to go, oh, but this shouldn't be happening, you know? That is helping me. For example, I have osteoporosis, or I did. Now it's only osteopenia because I've been taking some action, not by my doctor. I just used the DEXA scan as a tool, and I've been doing weightlifting. Well, then, of course, I'm older, so I've injured myself. Oh, well, we got to look at the pain. What's that? What is that? You know, and learning to look at those things helps me to keep going. Learning to look at the pain I'm causing to others helps me to recover. And how do I stop playing God? Well, oh my gosh, I was right up against myself yesterday while I was doing yard work, which is fabulous time, right? Doing yard work. And I just turned everything over that I was feeling inside to God. I go, man, I just don't even know about things, but I put all this mess I've been thinking about in your hands. And it has been helping me so much because then, thank you. I didn't have to get all mad at my husband, which I wanted to do at that time. And instead we were able to have a nice evening, and I put the problem where it needed to be, in God's hands. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Deb. And go ahead, Kathy. You can unmute.
There we go. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you all. This is my first time here at this meeting, and what a great meeting. What a great find. I feel like I found my people, especially with when most of you answered the question, what do I do when I'm not emotionally sober? It's a 10th step. I do a lot of 10th steps. And basically for me, when I'm not emotionally sober, it's purely because I'm disconnected. I'm disconnected from God, disconnected from fellows, disconnected from myself. And that restlessness, irritable, and discontent comes up, and I'm divided. But when I do a 10th step, I can take an inventory. I pause, I pray. I look at my part. I can often, God always enlightens me in the part at the end after fear. I always ask myself the question, have I considered? And God is so faithful to always provide me another angle to look at a situation. So that's also helpful. And then sharing with another fellow, that pulls me right out of self. And then to be of service, the last part of the 10th step. And so that brings me back up to speed with some emotional sobriety. And how do I quit playing God? I wrote practice, 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 because I am not good at it. What always comes to mind, or usually sometimes what comes to mind, is on page 164, it's, we realize we know only a little. I mean, my perspective of any situation in any given circumstances is just, it's just a point of view. You know, and I tell sponsees that it's like my perspective is like putting my nose on a canvas, and in the given moment, it just looks like a big hot mess. I can't even see what it looks like. But God has the whole picture. He's got the masterpiece in front of him. And when I step back, which often happens as time passes, then I can see, you know, I may have some sense of purpose in a situation. So reminding myself that I know only a little about what's really happening here is very helpful. And then how do I come to acceptance daily? It's a little bit all that same thing. It's talking truth to myself. It's starting off each day with some quiet time and gratitude and prayers, turning things over to God. And it's a constant practice of step two. Believing in a power that's greater than myself. So I know that God's in control and God is good. So I have to just kind of leave it in his hands and trust that all is well, I'm going to be okay. And again, this is constant practice. I just have to stay on the roller coaster because there's a lot of ups and downs, and not jump off like I used to. So thanks for letting me share. And with that, I'm going to pass.
You timed that just perfectly. Well, It is that time of the day where we will close this meeting, but we will leave the parking. We'll have the parking lot for maybe about 15 minutes for anybody who'd like to stay and continue to chat. So, my friends, the opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honor each other's anonymity. And what you hear here, please let it stay here. Thank you for allowing me to be the leader today. And thanks for everybody who did service. Sivi had to leave early. We thank her. Those of you who have shared, thank you. Just being here, thank you. And after a moment of silence, if you'd like to join me in the 7-step prayer, that would be lovely. My creator.
Creator.
I am willing that I should have all good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defective character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you.
My fellows, grant me the strength as I go from here
to do your bidding.
Amen.
Amen.
Keep him back, my friends.
Everything as always.
Works if you work it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Anne Marie.
Absolutely. Glad to do service today. Anybody have anything they'd like to say hello or whatever, then maybe get a chance to share that like to. And listen, Sandy T. I'm not that hard to follow.
All that vivacity, I just don't know. I was on the telephone with Carla, who was, I don't know if she's still with us or not. But anyway, I was on the phone with her lamenting about the move.
The recording is still on.
Thank you. Oh my God, thank you. That's what I always forget to do, stop it.
Sorry.